There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Danielle Radoichin, and welcome to a very special version of My Big Idea, the podcast from ASOS bringing you career advice and inspiration. Today we're based at London Fashion Week, and we're going to be talking to some really special guests about their impressions of the shows, the designers to be looking out for, and their tips on how to break into the fashion industry. In this episode, I'm talking to Lou Stoppard, editor-at-large at Show Studio. Here's what Lou had to say about London Fashion Week, Spring-Summer 17. Hi, Lou.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, joining us on My Big Idea at London Fashion Week. How's it going?
It's good. Very busy. London Fashion Week's so busy. So many different shows. And there's lots of different locations this time. So I'm kind of running around London.
So we're in Soho right now.
Yes.
Where else have you been looking at stuff?
I've been... One of the spaces is out in kind of Spitalfields Market, so I've been out there.
What did you see there?
What have I seen there? I saw Fashionista, that was really great. And then there's been a couple of things.
Who was your favourite designer from the Fashionista lineup?
Oh, it's a hard one. I really like Matty Boven. I think everyone's going to say that, but I thought that was very colourful and nice. And then I went, there's a couple of things that have been at Christie's, like on New Bond Street. So Shrimps was there, and then MM6 is there this afternoon. And I think that's a really lovely space. It's quite nice that it's spread out, because you feel like you get to see a bit of London. But
how do you get around?
I either get in Ubers or I get in cars, or yesterday I got the bus quite a lot, which was quite nice. And I actually got on a bus and there was no one else on it. I was with two of my friends.
Really?
And it felt like we had like
which
a giant
bus
Uber.
Was this?
We actually ended up going the wrong way and we missed a show because we ended up, I'm not going to say what show, but we missed a show because we ended up at the Tower of London. It was quite terrible. But I quite like that kind of... that madness of trying to get around. I also quite like walking, because London's actually not as big as you think sometimes. It's quite nice walking.
Really?
You can, like, you know, potter around. Quite like it.
You are in trainers.
I am in trainers. I'm always in trainers.
So let's talk about what you're wearing. Sort of a tracksuit situation going on here, which I'm into.
Well, it's Sunday, so I'm wearing a Chloe tracksuit, and then I'm wearing, Chloe tracksuit, and then Adidas sneakers.
Quite an interesting colour combo, like beige meets sort of
it's quite the Royal
cherry
Tenenbaums,
red.
I think.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think. But it's quite cosy for a Sunday.
What brand of trainers?
Adidas.
For running around.
Adidas Stan Smiths, as always.
All black.
All black. John Lennon used to wear all black Stan Smiths. Fact fans.
No way.
Yeah, he did. There's a really good picture of him and Yoko Ono together, and he's wearing all black Stan Smiths.
Oh my God, that's really good.
I have
good
to
knowledge.
Credit that fact to Gary Aspen, who's like Adidas consultant, and he has an encyclopedic knowledge of everyone who's ever worn Adidas.
That's amazing.
Quite amazing.
And lots of jewellery.
Always, yes.
You always wear really cool jewellery. So
yes. I get lots of things from different places. A lot of it is kind of antiques or things that my friends have given me. But I always go to... my friend... I actually hadn't been before. I'd heard of it, but I hadn't been. My friend took me to Alfie's Antiques in London. It's amazing. So I got one of these from there. And then some of them I got in India. That was my mum's.
I think it's quite surprising, Alfie's, how affordable some of it is.
It's really, really good. It's really good to go for ideas.
And I'm quite into your earrings that you were just telling me about that are from Etsy.
Yeah, I get my... Everyone always thinks they're going to be really fancy and then they're from Etsy. they're quite good little cuffs.
We're going to try... I'm going to Instagram the picture of them later, hopefully.
My multiple earrings.
So anyway... Fashion Week. What do you think? What's the point of Fashion Week these days?
Well, that's the like holy grail question, isn't it, at the moment? Because no one's quite sure. It's like everyone's talking about the show's still relevant. You know, what is the purpose? Because their functions change so much. You know, Fashion Week traditionally was like a place where press and buyers could come and work. It was a trade show. You know, they could come and see clothing, report, place orders, and obviously because of the internet and social media, it's changed so much and become this kind of big branding exercise, I guess, and the shows are almost like adverts, especially the ones that are live streamed. So I think it's the purpose has changed so much, and I don't know how it's going to grow. It's definitely not just for us anymore. For a long time, I think it felt like Fashion Week was for those who were in attendance, and now we're just kind of a part of that whole circle. We're like bums on seats to look good in the live stream, but actually that's for kind of everyone. So I'm not sure. I think some people probably stop showing. Some people, there'll be more shows. So I think it's going to change loads. It's like a real, definitely like a pivotal time for Fashion Week at the moment, especially because of the See Now, Buy Now stuff. It's quite an interesting time.
Yeah, what do you think about this whole See Now, Buy Now thing? Everyone's talking about it this season.
Yeah, everyone is talking about it. I don't know. I think it's going to, everyone's going to, I think it'll all shake down in the end. I think it'll really work for some brands. Burberry, I guess, are the kind of big ones that have really been, their name's been associated with it the most. I think it'll work for them. I think for smaller designers, it probably won't work. But I think in a way it's good that everyone's going to end up sort of showing and selling in their own way. I think for too long there's been this kind of fashion system that everyone had to slot into, whether it worked for them or not. And I think now we're going to have more flexibility. Some people, you know, showing, when like Vetements were a really good example of that, how they moved kind of when they showed to January, because it meant their clothes were in the stores longer and it was better for their business.
Yeah, because they've actually already showed their spring summer 17 collection, even though
and everyone
they show in Paris.
About that, like they're trying to sort of disrupt the system, but I don't think they are. I think they're just doing what's best for their business, and I think more people probably start doing things like that. So that's
and do you think, what do you think about this idea that you can, people want to be able to wear the clothes the second they've seen them appear on the runway?
I don't know. I think it's less about wanting to wear them. I think it's more about being kind of bored or drained of them. I think it's I don't think it's necessarily the case that people are obsessed with having them and owning them. I think the problem is that people see them so much that by the time they hit stores 6 months later, people are kind of tired of them. So I think it's less about you wanting them at the time and more about them not wanting them later and trying to kind of get the balance between that. I do think if you've seen something all over Instagram or all over the internet on celebrities and whatnot, and then it's in store, you kind of, you're just, it's like there's a certain apathy towards it. So I wonder if that's where it comes from. Less about people kind of like banging on the doors of shops to buy stuff straight away, but more about them not wanting it when it does hit the stores.
Yeah. And what about sort of up and coming talent, new names to drop and all that? Because I think you know lots of people, you've got a good network, you're out and about a lot on the scene. Who are the names that you're really interested in, or up and coming brands at the moment?
That's a hard one. There's always so, that's what London's really good for. There's always so many really interesting young brands. I think, I mean, this, she's not like a new young brand, but I am really, really obsessed with Molly Goddard. I think what she does is really fascinating.
Were you just at her show?
I was at her show yesterday. I got there really late, though, so I had to like watch from the back.
What was it like being there?
It's really, really, I love the lips. They did this kind of really beautiful red lipstick, and it looked like the girls had been kind of kissing because they were all kind of smudged. But I love what Molly Goddard does. I think that's really interesting in London, all of this kind of strange kind of like girliness. Like loads of designers have that, like it's not like they have a similar aesthetic, they've all got their own thing going on, but there is this kind of shared sensibility of things that are quite saccharine and quite
Do you think that's that sort of the whole thing that was kicked off by Miedem Kirchhoff a few seasons ago?
I was thinking about that. I don't really know where it came from,
because I suppose on the other hand you've got quite a lot of interesting stuff happening in menswear right now in London as well, right?
Definitely.
Which is sort of a counterpoint.
I think that's feeding into the womenswear a lot. I think it's made people kind of step up a lot because there's such a focus on London Collections men, and it's so exciting and really, really good, really good shows, lots of new young talent. I think maybe London Fashion Week felt a little flat compared to it. That's definitely what all the menswear press say, because we love to be, menswear and womenswear press love to sort of be a bit competitive. Well, actually the womenswear press don't really care about the menswear press, the menswear press like to kind of think that they're better than the womenswear press, and I obviously do both, so I kind of flip between. But I think there is, Molly is a really good example of someone that I think is really, really interesting. But then it's interesting because a lot of the brands that I think are getting the most buzz in London at the moment and that women are wearing aren't actually showing as part of London Fashion Week. So things like everyone's obsessed with Charles Jeffrey, but he shows part of the menswear, same with Grace Wells Bonner. So that's quite interesting as well, that they're not showing as part of the showcase, but then everyone's really excited about them, and you can kind of feel their, the mood that they've set. So that's quite, that's quite interesting.
I also wanted to ask you a bit about people who, because for our audience, people who are listening to this podcast are quite interested or might be interested to know about how you got to where you are with your career, how to break into fashion journalism. What's your best advice for that kind of thing?
Best advice, it's really hard because it's such a there's like no formula, like it's all kind of luck and timing and hard work, and so it's really hard. But I think I think the main thing is, it's really obvious, but working really, really hard and researching loads, because I think that's a slight problem. There's so many people that want to work in fashion, and to differentiate yourself, it does have to be kind of knowing lots. So like reading all the time, having a really good knowledge of fashion history. It doesn't
what
mean
you,
you have to study
what
fashion.
Reading what? What do you read on a daily basis?
The immediate news I read. There's kind of say like. It's quite easy to get fashion news quite quickly, so I always look at what the New York Times are writing about fashion. I'll have a look at Business of Fashion if there's like a business story that I think is relevant. I always read. I think it's important not to lose kind of sight of the wider world, so I always read The Guardian every day. It's my homepage. It's really obvious what everyone does. I subscribe to The New Yorker, so that's really great. I think also if you want to study fashion, it's about, you know, going to a library and looking at some of those old fashion books, or even like if you don't have access to a good library that has fashion books around you, like there's such good resources online. Like a lot of them, you know, Vogue have done a great job of digitalising their stuff, so it's really easy actually to find information. But I do notice that with kind of sometimes when I teach or with students we have, where their knowledge is very much based on the contemporary, and that's fine, but I think if you want to do really well, it is about having that kind of wider scope.
And if someone wants to contact you or someone who works at a sort of big fashion title and they want to have an internship, what do you think is a good way to differentiate yourself from other people who might be trying to do the same thing?
It's really sad because it shouldn't differentiate you, it should be the norm. But the biggest thing for me is if people can actually write a coherent and well-spelt cover letter. Like, that sounds like such a boring thing, but we get it all the time. Like, we get cover letters where something's spelt wrong or it doesn't quite make sense, or you can tell it's exactly the same cover letter they sent to you. Like 50 other titles, or it's really long and rambling, or, you know, it's, I think a really clear, well-edited, short, concise, punchy cover letter that doesn't have a spelling mistake in it.
That's your best friend.
Yeah. Honestly, literally, if I read a cover letter like that, I'm like, someone's not even opening their CV, I'm just like, okay, they seem like a normal functioning person, let's give them an interview. So I think that would be my big tip.
And I just remembered actually something I wanted to ask you. So, you know, you interviewed Kanye for Show Studio. It was a really big deal and everyone was talking about it and it was really good. I wanted to know what you thought about all that fuss that was made about his Yeezy 4 show in New York.
Oh my gosh.
Where the models fainted from the heat.
Yeah, I thought that was a misstep, but to have those girls standing in the heat. I think it's difficult because when you choreograph a show, you don't necessarily know what the weather's going to be like, even though, you know, it had been very hot in New York for a long time. I think that was a mistake. There's nothing worse than being at a fashion presentation where the girls look...
Because it was like 2 hours late already and took an hour to get there or something.
Actually, more than you think, where you're at a fashion presentation and the girls are having to stand for ages and they just look really exhausted, really tired. It actually happens quite a lot. And the other thing is when girls can't walk in their shoes, which is obviously another thing that was a big problem at the Yeezy thing. Like, some of the shoes break, so the girls kind of couldn't walk. I don't know, I think he's always going to get so much flack, isn't he? But I do think people love to criticise, and, you know, understandably in some ways. But I think he's done more for sort of diversity in fashion than actually, like, along with Olivia Rousteing from Balmain, than anyone else has. And I think there's definitely conversations that are happening in fashion now that definitely wouldn't have happened without him. So I think I'm sort of wary of getting really on my high horse and sort of acting, you know, like there shouldn't be a place for it in fashion, because I think there definitely should be a place for it in fashion, and it's very easy to be lofty. Yeah, I do feel bad for those girls that fainted. That kind of detracted from that, didn't it?
Do you think he'll ever be taken seriously by the fashion industry?
I think the journalists love to not take him seriously, but the buyers definitely take him seriously. He plays big orders. You know, it does work. Like, it sells well. I think he will. I think if you look at Victoria Beckham and kind of what she had, you know, for a long time, it was every review would mention kind of her Spice Girls past, and now she's kind of taken very seriously. But she's perhaps slightly less bombastic than Kanye is in how she operates, so maybe that's had a slight... I don't know. I think fashion's changing so much, though. It's like so many sort of celebrity endorsements, design, you know, it's...
Which celebrity would you really like to interview next?
Oh, that's a really hard question. I'd love to interview Louis Theroux because I love him so much. I'd love to interview him. I feel like you never really know that much about him. He's kind of different to Kanye. It's not
quite different.
I think that'd be good.
I'd watch that and listen to that.
Thanks.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for talking. Where are you going? What are you doing next?
I've got the America Transy show. I think it's my next thing.
That's so just happening right here, I think,
right,
isn't it? Yeah.
So I'm going to do a bit of work, catch up on my correspondence, and then I'll be in the America Transy show.
Splendid. Thanks so much for talking to us. That was Lou Stoppard, editor-at-large at Show Studio, talking about London Fashion Week Spring-Summer 2017. I'm Danielle Radoichin. Join me later for more Fashion Week interviews and inspiring advice about how to break into the fashion industry. Don't forget to subscribe to My Big Idea on iTunes, Acast, or your favourite podcast app, and check out the ASOS Magazine podcast, These Four Walls, too. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.